After 645 days, fans swarmed back into Kinnick Stadium to see a top 20 showdown between Iowa and Indiana. David Eichel here, HawkeyeInsider.com, along with my colleague Sean Bach. And Sean, I mean, I think we both knew we were going to have one of the best games of the weekend, at least we thought going into it. But this was Iowa's game straight from the get-go. I mean, I know you and I both picked Iowa to win, but in the dominating fashion that they did, I mean, it was a very interesting game to watch. And when you look on paper, besides the Riley Moss interceptions, Indiana didn't play horribly. I mean, you look at the time of possession, you look at the yardage, you look at what they really allowed Iowa to do. But big plays. I think Iowa limiting big plays and having big plays of their own, and that ball hawking secondary, that secondary that got beat during the fall scrimmage, came out in full force as Iowa won 34-6. So Sean, let's just go back and forth on this. Certainly not what I think you or I expected.
Yeah, this game, as we kind of talked about during the post game, had Phil Parker written all over it. Riley Moss mentioned it during the post game. I mean, you have to acknowledge Moss's two interceptions. They were really impressive ones too. One of them, he jumped the pass, and what was the other one? Did he jump the first one too?
The first one, the 30-yard one, it was off the receiver's hands, but it was a heads-up play because he was running and he kind of caught the ball behind him and then just sprinted to the end zone.
That's right. Just Phil Parker, just being able to, I guess, establish a play, a game plan that would work as effectively as it did. And, you know, I saw a couple tweets on Twitter regarding Indiana's game plan and how, you know, Iowa was able to scheme it perfectly. I mean, yes, Stephen Carr was a former five-star running back, but Indiana's run game was a huge question going into the season. And, you know, I think Iowa also got pretty lucky with the offensive line performance that Indiana had. It wasn't great. Couple, you know, penalties here and there, couple holdings, just things that, you know, you wouldn't really expect from an Indiana offensive line that seemed to be, you know, I wouldn't say a strength, but you would expect to perform a little bit better going into this season. And, you know, they didn't. Iowa took advantage of it, and, you know, they just came away with the victory. And I think a lot of things went right for them defensively. You know, we'll talk about offense as well, but I think this is one of those games where you got to look at the Iowa defense and be like, okay, like, there's reason to believe that all the hype, all the, you know, just talk around the secondary and the back end going into the season was legit. And this is one of those games where I think Iowa really matched up well with the team against Indiana. I mean, you know, going into this one, I was a little worried about Indiana's passing attack and how they would attack or Iowa. You know, I think Indiana really did a good job of finding the holes when Iowa went into a zone defense. But when Iowa went man-on-man press coverage, you know, Indiana had a really tough time getting anything going. And Penix is the type of guy that needs to get in rhythm, needs to, you know, set his feet and get, you know, into that rhythm. Because, I mean, his passes aren't really, you know, the most accurate at times. So, All in all, like, really, really good win if you're Iowa. I mean, you talked about earlier, no one really expected to blow them out the way they did. But I thought the game plan and just the way that Iowa was able to scheme against the Hoosiers was really, really impressive. And, you know, it's something that we come to expect with Phil Parker and Kirk Ferentz. I mean, not to say that, like, we didn't expect it going into this game, but I don't know how effective we thought it would be.
You know, I thought they'd have a good game plan, Sean, but the reality is you still got to go out and execute it. And there are so many variables that we've really never – it's just different variables that's unlike a common game. I mean, this was Spencer Petras' first game starting with fans in attendance. I think that played a factor. And, you know, one of my things, too, I think I mentioned this earlier in the week when I was starting to get reintegrating the site and everything, Sean. I was curious how Penix was going to look when he came out. Because, you know, keep in mind, he hasn't played in a live football game. He hasn't taken real contact since that injury. So I said, if Iowa had gotten pressure on him early in the game, was that going to rattle him for the rest of the game? And I think something that really impressed me, Sean, Defensive line, I still think has a lot of work to do, but you saw flashes. Lucas Van Ness, I thought, had a really nice sack. John Wagoner, I think, played his best game as a Hawkeye. Joe Evans had some pressure. Zach Van Valkenburg really didn't do too much, but he was a constant guy on the edge. He had a pair of quarterback hits, and that's really what you needed. They got solid play out of their linebacking corps. And the secondary, I mean, Sean, they had three picks, but let's be real. They could have had six or seven. It's kind of crazy to think about that when you think about all the dropped interceptions. And by the way, I did get a chance to look over that Dane Belton interception. I don't know how he caught that. That was an incredibly impressive interception, especially while essentially getting blocked by the Hoosier running back. So all in all, I think Phil Parker put together a great game plan. I wasn't sure how Stephen Carr was going to be able to do. Like you mentioned, there was that running kind of question mark for the Indiana rushing attack. Iowa 31 gave up 31 carries, 77 yards, 2.5 yards an attempt. You'll take that every day of the week. Penix 14 to 29 for 156 yards. No touchdown score in the game. And Sean, the thing that I liked, though, they talked about preventing the big plays. They did it well for the most part, but it was the response after giving up a big play. You think about, I think they had the 32-yarder and the 33-yarder. Both, I think, went to Freifogel that got them in the Iowa red zone twice. And then Iowa's defense get three and out of them the next two times and forced a field goal in both those situations. It was the bend, don't break mentality. And, you know, they have an experienced group, but, I mean, they really buckled down when they needed to.
Yeah, and I thought the pass rush could have been a little bit better from time to time. I thought Iowa was pretty effective in getting in the backfield when it needed to. I think it could have been a little more consistent, but I mean, all in all, I mean, I think it was more impressive than what we considered it to be. I mean, I want to talk about the offense here too, because we focus on the defense, but yeah, I mean, I think the offense, I think, you know, it looked better in the first couple of drives, but then as the game went on, you kind of saw, you know, shades of last year. I wouldn't say shades of last year, but you saw some moments that, you know, kind of reminded you of last year a little bit in Petrus' struggles, but also like the ground game. I think the offensive line is one of the areas that needs to get better a little bit, considering, you know, it wasn't as effective as maybe it could have been.
Yeah.
But I also think when you look at Indiana, their defensive line has two guys from the SEC that look like SEC football players. They are really impressive athletes. And I thought they did a pretty good job against Iowa. But, I mean, Indiana's defense, when you look at the big picture, they're going to be one of the top teams in the Big Ten East this year.
Yeah.
When it comes to defense. Offense, I think there could be still some, you know, leaps they have to make. But defensively, they're a really good team. And that comes into play when you consider Iowa had, what, two offensive touchdowns against them?
They had the Spencer Petras quarterback run. Then they had the Tyler Goodson 56-yard scamper, which I think came on the fourth play of the game.
Right.
Yeah, and those are the two.
Caleb Shudak had, what, two field goals?
We had a 41-yarder. Excuse me, he had a 41-yarder and a 35-yarder.
Yeah. So, I mean, Iowa threatened from time to time on offense, like outside of those two opportunities or outside of those two touchdowns that they had. But I mean, you look at Goodson, I think the stat is outside of that run, he averaged like 2.8 yards per carry on the game. And that's not necessarily ideal. And Ivory Kelly Martin, I think, was like 8 for 44. So he carries for 44 yards and had a long of 22, and that resulted in a fumble.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think there were encouraging steps. I want to say that first. I think there were encouraging steps with the way that Petras seemed more poised in the pocket. I think there were a couple times where, you know, you could see the frustration in Tyrone Tracy's face. Yep. That Petras missed him. And
I mean, Kelly Martin, too, downfield on that one. They underthrew him, but, I mean, he was wide open. I mean, I don't know where Spencer's eyes were. I haven't gone back on the film on that yet, Sean. But you saw what I did, right? I mean, he was completely wide open the entire route.
Yeah, he was definitely wide open. You know, that happens from time to time, but you know, you don't see it as like in the top quarterbacks. I'm not saying Spencer Rattler's the top quarterback.
Yeah, I'll say this. Tracy was beating his cornerback too, and that's a legit Indiana secondary. So, I mean, I think you need to take into account that might be a good sign for Tracy going forward. And I know Iowa tried to get him involved in the run game just so he could get his touches. You got to look for Tracy though. I think Petras got really comfortable looking at his safety valve and Sam Laporta, and Laporta had a career high 83 yards.
Yeah.
Today, but you know, Iowa's receiver play still, they have the talent, but they need that consistency, and Petras has to look for him, I think, a little bit more.
Right. I mean, Tyrone was targeted 5 times and he had 2 receptions.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you can make a case that he should have been targeted at least like 8 or 9 times.
Yep, I agree.
And Tyler Goodson had 2 receptions. Those were more like, you know, check downs, I think. Charlie Jones had 1. Nico Reganey had 2. Luke Lachey had 1. And then Laporta had 5. So, you know, I think the passing game can get there. I liked what I saw from Petras. I mean, taking into account there were a couple of drops as well with some of the guys.
Yep. I think people are going to look at the completion percent, Sean, and just get, you know, just assume everything based off that. But people got to realize this too. There is such thing as a good incompletion. Throwaways to avoid a sack. I thought Petras did a much better job of getting rid of the football this year as opposed to last year. Because remember last year, he would just hold it, and try to force it when it wasn't there. So I think that was a big step in the right direction. And then in the first quarter, I think he ended like 2-3 of 6, I think. But 2 of them were obvious drops. I mean, they hit him right in the hands. Laporta had 1. And was it Tracy that had the other drop in that first quarter?
I believe so.
I think it was Tracy. I'll need to go back and look at the film. But as far as his poise and confidence in the pocket, Sean, I think he looked worlds better, and I didn't see a lot of happy feet. I think the biggest thing that Spencer needs to improve upon, I thought he did a good job escaping the pocket, but he does not reset his feet after he escapes the pocket. He tries to make the throw on the run instead of just setting back up and going through his fundamentals.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah. I would say that's fair. That's a fair assumption. Or fair, I guess.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. I think he tries to not – he knows he isn't, be the best athlete once he escapes the pocket. He has a good arm. I think if he can just learn how to reset his feet after he escapes the pocket, I think that'd go a long way. But as far as managing a game, I think he did fine. And I know people are going to be a little bit nervous, but I think people need to take into account. It is a team game. Torrey Taylor, by the way, is just insane. He had a couple punts that I thought were absolutely ridiculous. Shudak was good. So, I mean, the Iowa special teams, I think, as a collective unit, is going to be one of the best in the country. The secondary is proving they're going to be one of the best in the country. But Petras is a team game, and Petras did enough today for the win, and I liked a lot of things I saw as opposed to last year. But we won't get down this rabbit hole, Sean. He has to play his best game next week because Iowa State is going to come for blood, and they are woken up after the close call against Northern Iowa at home. And especially with College Game Day there again, which was just announced as of about 15, 20 minutes ago, that's going to be a huge opportunity for Petras and Iowa to really get some confidence going forward.
Yeah, most definitely. And, you know, I think Petras will get there. Honestly, like after this game, like I know, you know, there's been a lot of talk in the offseason about how he's been able to improve and how he's been able to grow on last year. But, you know, I think there were some positives that you can take away from this, like in terms of how he performed. He looked more poised, I think. I think he had better touch on his balls. I know he missed. I know he overthrew a couple. But I think he just looked more poised in the pocket. And, you know, you mentioned it too, like a couple of the missed passes were just drops, just straight up drops. And they were some that he threw away. I think that run they had for a touchdown kind of showed that confidence a little bit more, which I thought was pretty encouraging. But yeah, I mean, you mentioned it too with next week, Iowa State. That's gonna be one that you really got to come ready for, because Iowa State, they're pretty. I mean, I know, you know what happened today. Obviously, they've struggled with Northern Iowa in the past, but I think this Iowa State team might match up a little more better. Might match up better than, say, an Indiana does with Iowa.
My thing is, and we talk. I'll expand on this point later in this week, Sean. Then we'll wrap up and just give us some final thoughts about this game. I'm very interested to see how Iowa State and Iowa come out, because Iowa State's going to be favored. I think Iowa, despite winning the last few, they're going to have a giant chip on their shoulder, because everybody's been talking about Iowa State, not Iowa, this offseason. I know the players and all that do a good job of trying to suppress all of that, but everyone knows it does creep through the walls. It just does. And I think that if there is one game that they get up for, both teams, it's going to be Iowa State. They hate each other. It's a good rivalry. And I think there's going to be extra adrenaline with all the national attention on it. But I'll say this. I think Tyler Goodson did show some good things today. I really liked what I saw out of Petras as far as taking steps forward just to grow. Don't look at the stat sheet too much and assume too much. You got to look at the way they got those stats and the way they progressed through the game. I liked what I saw out of Petras. He does need to complete a couple more deep passes. He's got to get the wide receivers involved. The O-line, I actually thought did better than I thought they would against the Indiana front. The D-line played a little bit better, but the secondary lived up to it. And, all in all, Sean, at the end of the day, it's a 28-point win over what was a preseason top 20 team and what's going to be a legitimate Big Ten team going down the stretch. So, cautiously optimistic. Iowa took care of business, but as fun as it is for them to win and what they're feeling right now, and as good as Iowa fans probably feel, it all has to be flushed out Sunday and Monday, because the real opportunity is what's going to come next week in Ames, Iowa.
Yeah, and I think this was just a stepping stone to get there too. I think this is definitely a big confidence booster going into next week if you're Iowa.
I think it has to be. I mean, I you'd be a preseason top 20 team. And the thing is too, Sean, you got to look at the progression that they made, and Iowa answered question marks. But again, I'm very interested to see what Iowa State does coming out. I think we're going to learn much more about this Iowa team next week than we learned this week. Not because we have sample size, but as far as what type of team Iowa truly is going forward, we're going to learn, I think, this week. But I will say this, Iowa took care of business this week. And it goes in. Let's compare it to Big Ten play just for a second. Wisconsin lost. Minnesota lost. Northwestern lost. So to all Big Ten teams, by the way. So three of those teams who are, I think, the top three contenders in the West outside of Iowa, all already have a loss. And that'll be something to monitor, I think, going forward.
Yeah, that's a good point. Is Illinois still on the ropes right now as we're recording this?
I believe last time I checked.
Yeah, they're down. Seven. They're down 37-30.
With
27 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Wow.
Interesting. But I mean, we all knew that Illinois wasn't going to play too much of a factor this year.
That's just interesting.
So all in all, I mean, Sean, any final thoughts? I think we've hit on about everything. Oh, by the way, just an update. I think everybody already knows this, but it's still worth mentioning. Tyler Linderbaum is fine, and he made that very apparent in his post-game press conference. He took a helmet to the thigh, but, I mean, he played the rest of the game. So, I mean, it was very interesting, Sean. I don't think I've ever heard a stadium go so quiet when an offensive lineman was down on the ground, especially after a touchdown.
I'm with you there. Yeah. That was definitely very, very quiet. And for good reason too. I mean, that guy was a beast on the offensive line. I'm really interested to see how the Pro Football Focus grades come out.
Yeah, that's a good point too. I think Justin Britt did pretty well. I really like Mason Richmond. He did get beat a couple times and Petras paid the price on the back end of it. But right. I think Richmond has a really, really good skill set. He's got the toolkit to be a really, really good tackle for Iowa. So I'm interested in his progression. But, you know, the reality is the young linemen passed the first test, Sean, but Cyclones are going to be a different beast next week, I think. And, you know, we'll have you all covered at HawkeyeInsider.com. But, I mean, we'll have our report card out tomorrow or Monday, Sean. But, I mean, really, what too much? It's one of those things where, like, we have 60 minutes of football to take away, but we also don't want to assume too much. I think it's, like you said, I think it's a good stepping stone, but there's still so much we're going to learn about this team. I don't think we've really seen what any player can do on a consistent basis. I got a lot of questions, but as far as where this team is compared to where I thought they would be at this point in time, Sean, I mean, they're farther ahead than I thought for sure.
Most definitely. That was a very, very impressive win to start it off. I think Indiana's going to be a good team in the Big Ten East, but I think the way Iowa was able to show what it could do, that was honestly the most impressive part. I would say it's one of the more impressive week one victories in college football.
I think it has to be too. And
definitely in the Big Ten.
You also got to give a shout out to Montana, though, because they just beat Washington,
mm-hmm.
which is
– That is true as well.
Yikes. But, Sean, any other final thoughts? I mean, we're going to be so busy over these next 7 days, and it's going to be the most highly anticipated Cy-Hawk game in the history of the series for sure. And I'll leave it this way. If Iowa – this is going to be a lot of ifs over the next week or so, Sean, but if Iowa wins this next week, I mean, we're talking about one of those years. I mean, look at the way the schedule lines up. It'll be – interesting to see how they come out next week.
If they can go 4-0 in September, then we can start talking about that, I think.
I mean, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. But Hawkeye Insider will have you totally covered. But Sean, last chance, any further comments or are we all set till everything starts up tomorrow?
I think we're all set. I think you guys should pay attention to the site. Tomorrow we'll have a bunch of good stuff. We'll be able to watch it over a second time, which will be crucial and kind of gather more thoughts. Like, it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird analyzing a game in person. I thought it was kind of just weird, like, talking about it, honestly. Yeah.
It's always funny to me, though, too, because, like, I like doing these, Sean, but at the same time, it's also, like, I will listen back to our stuff, and then I'll rewatch the game, and I'm just like, there's so much you can miss, especially as a writer, because – you're like, for us, we're updating message boards. We're having, you know, our game recap, right? We're doing our live updates. So it's like, you're trying to multitask so much, and it's actually a lot harder to like gather every single detail that happens throughout a game. Like, I learn more by far rewatching the game on TV than I do during the game.
Yeah, I'm with you there. That's definitely a very true statement.
So yeah, David Eicholt, Sean Bock, be sure to follow us at David Eicholt, EICKHOLT, and at SBock247 and Hawkeyes on 247, HawkeyeInsider.com. We will be back this week to preview the most highly anticipated Cy-Hawk game in history. College game day is going to be there, so we're going to have a lot of fun content from that. And, yeah, it's going to be a good week. Good to see all of you again today, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.